Welcome to Sports Ticket. Wade Gerstrand, Dusty Dinas with you. The breaking news in the sports world today is exactly what we talked about yesterday. And a committee member came out yesterday after our show. Apparently listens to us.
Yeah.
Dick Pound is his name. True story. Dick Pound is his name. And Bingo, was it? Yeah. No, Dick Pound is his name, not Bingo. Dick Pound said yesterday that, hey, you know, it's going to be postponed, blah, blah, blah. And then the vice president of the committee said, well, that's news to me. Apparently that person doesn't attend the same meetings or something. Today, the Japanese prime minister, they got everybody together, IOC. They surveyed over 1,700 athletes that would be maybe competing in the games. And they took all that information under consideration and... what do you know? They did exactly what we said they probably need to do and will do, and that's postpone the Olympics in Tokyo. The Summer Olympics postponed until 2021. So there you have it.
Yes.
It has been moved back a year. It's only the fourth time that's happened in the history of the Summer Games. The other three times were associated during World War I and II.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a non-war-related stoppage.
Yeah.
Or pushback postponement.
We're going to have a lot of those, I think, that are going to be, when we look at the history books, it's like, well, why did this happen?
Yes.
There was no war going on. Well, there was a... virus war, I guess.
Right.
We'll call it.
Exactly. Oh, man. I tell you, I do miss play-by-play. I'm tweeting this out right now. You can follow me on Twitter, NCKS Radio Guy 10. That's NCKS Radio Guy 10. My son stumbled upon this, which is great. He's 13. And of course, he's heard bad language before. Probably from his mother. I know it wasn't from me. So, anyway, I showed this to Dusty. Dusty and I were laughing so hard we were crying. So I am tagging some friends of mine with this, some play-by-play cuts from this guy named Bob Maneri. Oh, my gosh, it's funny. It is R-rated in regards to the language, no doubt. But, man, it's funny. That's all I can say. The things that we
It's not coming up on the radio. Let's just let everybody know that. It's going on Twitter, not on the radio.
No, we will not play it on the radio, or we'll be shut down in a different way.
Yes.
Absolutely, than a lockdown or something. No, we're not going to play it over the radio. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, then you can decide if you want to click on it or not. But it is funny because for us play-by-play people, it's like, yeah, there's times when we think about, that goes through our head like, well, I wish I could just say whatever I wanted to say. Things cross your mind every once in a while, like, what the heck was that, you know, type of thing. So there's one I'm posting right now of a Chinese diver. I think it's Chinese or Japanese. I don't know. It did not end well.
No.
But the guy play-by-play is hilarious. There's another one with Joe Flacco when he was quarterback in the Ravens where he nearly lost his head on a hit. That is, wow, that is X or R-rated stuff, but it is funny to me. So anyway, you can follow me on Twitter, NCKS Radio Guy 10. We need to laugh as much as we can during this time.
Oh, yeah.
All right, all-class teams. We got some area athletes that made all-class, and certainly really no surprises, to be honest with you. They're all well-deserved.
Yeah, so Wichita Eagle right now, they're the ones that have released theirs so far, and Vincent Paulin of Beloit in Class 3A Boys was a first-team selection, and the other first-team selection from the area was Lauren Dubert from St. John's Tipton, the 1A Girls. Selections there. So that's what we have as far as first team picks. Other area athletes that are on those lists in 3A Boys, Bryce Mason of Beloit is honorable mention. 3A Girls, both Shay Larson and Jessica Meyer of Beloit were honorable mention selections. Class 1A Boys, Theo Walters of Osmond on the second team and Noah Williams of Rock Hill's honorable mention. And then 1A Girls, Brennan Kirkhoff of Thunder Ridge is second team pick and Trinity Luters of Osmond also makes the honorable mention list. So again, that's the Wichita Eagle All-State All-Class. So you can find the whole list at NCKSSports.com.
Oh man, that's awesome. We knew we would have people that would be on that list, and they'll be. That's the Eagle.
The Capital Journal
will come
have
out,
one out,
and
a
whole bunch
we'll
of other
probably find something
come
from Sports
out.
In Kansas too that's really blown up here lately that does some things. And yeah, and then the state usually KBCA usually releases a team, and so they're usually a little bit later than everybody else though. So once we get that, we'll pass that along as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, look forward to that. All right, that's the show. Thanks for listening, everyone. Yep, good times. Where do I want to go? Okay, let's go to the Chiefs cap situation. This is per the NFL's internal cap report. 10 teams with least space as of yesterday morning. The Chiefs only have $555,000 in cap space. And Chris Jones isn't signed. And Mahomes has no extension. Yeah, and no draft picks yet have been picked. Trust me. this will get taken care of. Obviously, it has to. And you can lose, you can take $14 million right off the bat with Sammy Watkins.
There's one move that adds $14 million to that $555,000.
Yeah, if they just cut Sammy Watkins today, they suddenly will be the fifth lowest, or they'll be the fifth
least,
worst,
yeah,
for
yeah.
fifth worst yeah, on this list in regards to the cap instead of the worst. The Patriots are second to worst, which is interesting, $2.8 million. I find that surprising. Brady gone? Kind of interesting. The Saints at $9 million. They just signed Emmanuel Sanders to a deal. Steelers, $10 million. And the Falcons, Packers, Cardinals, Ravens, Niners, and Rams round out the bottom 10 when it comes to worst cap situation. So the Chiefs have the worst cap situation as of yesterday. Josh Briscoe of 810 WHB, he said, don't overreact to this. The Chiefs are one move away for freeing up $14 million if they want it. And that's Sammy Watkins. It's a super talented roster with a lot of big cap hits this year on mostly good contracts. Would you like more cap space? Sure, but not as much as I love having Frank Clark, Tyreek Hill, Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones, etc. Well, Jones is not, you know, they still got to work out that one. And Clark, I think you can say, even though he did what he had to do at the end of the year, still overpaid, didn't live up to the contract. And Hill, his contract's not that horrible. They got Kelsey under contract. So I see what he's saying. I get it. But the Chiefs have a lot of work to do when it comes to, hey, what are we going to, or yeah, what are we going to do here when it comes to moving this money around and restructuring contracts? So a lot of work to be done by Brett Veach. And he knows it. He knew it during the season, trust me. And they've been working ahead of the game as much as they can. But I think the biggest chip to fall in this whole thing is going to be, how are they going to handle Chris Jones' situation? I hate to just keep beating it to death, but that's what this comes down to. To me, this offseason revolves completely around Chris Jones for the Chiefs in regards to the financial flexibility or lack thereof that they'll have. I just keep coming back to it. Like, Clark's good. He's under contract. Matthew's under contract. You're fine there. I mean, Hitchens is good. Fisher, Schwartz, your offensive line is pretty much all taken care of now. Your running backs are under contract. Mahomes is still under contract. You don't have to do an extension right now with him. Kelsey's under contract. You're losing Robinson to free agency more than likely. You need to find a backup tight end. You can find somebody cheap there. That's not a big deal. Finding another receiver might be an issue. Then again, you can probably get somebody fairly cheap. Pringle might slide into a position, you know, in place of Robinson, and then you develop somebody in the draft or an undrafted free agent or something like that. I mean, it just keeps coming back to, it doesn't like they're going to go out and spend a lot of money on a corner, which really, why would they? Because if they would have kept Kendall Fuller or Breshawn Breeland, who Breeland's still out there available in free agency. But it just keeps coming back. To me, I just keep coming back and back and back and back, and it's just a complete circle. The offseason revolves, and what the Chiefs do really depends highly upon what they do with Chris Jones.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's all you've got right now. I mean, that's what you're, like I say, I think we're all pretty confident that Sammy Watkins is gone, so that's the only other chip to fall, really. I mean, what are you going to do with him?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to sign him long-term, or are you going to trade him, maybe get rid of some of that and save some money there and have some money for the future? You know, what are you going to do there? That's really the only question I have right now. You know, some people that are complaining that are Chiefs fans on Twitter that they haven't made a splash in free agency.
What do you want them to do?
They're not going to. They don't have the money to,
exactly.
First of all.
How can
And then, like, what do you want them to do? Like, who do you want? Like, there's not been anybody out there that's like, oh, we have to sign that guy to make this team better. They just won the Super Bowl. It's like, and yeah, I know they lost some guys that played some fairly key roles on the team, but nobody that they can't just be like, okay, we'll put somebody in there. The base and the core is still there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you got Damian Williams back for a fairly good price here on when you pick up his option, and, you know, they've got guys that they need right now. They don't need to make a splash.
No.
Go draft some guys and fill those spots that you missed.
Well,
and then again,
you build around your foundation.
Yeah.
And your foundation is obviously number 15.
Absolutely.
And then you work from there. Your foundation really is Kelsey, Hill, and Mahomes. That's your foundation.
Yeah.
With your skill players. And then Matthew and Clark. Our two guys are under contract for at least two more years.
Yeah.
Matthew's a three-year deal. He's got two more years. Clark's set for a while if the Chiefs end up having him all that time. You got, that is the price of doing business, is having these guys under contract. And when you get good, they're going to get raises, and that's why the Chiefs are letting certain people walk because they can't afford them. Kendall Fuller is one of those casualties. You know, I would love to see Kendall Fuller with this team again next year. I really do think his versatility is big. But if Juan Thornhill comes back from injury and is 100%, then that'll help handle everything in regards to, well, Thornhill and Sorensen have versatility. That can cover up losing Kendall Fuller. Finding a corner to replace Bashaun Breeland? Of course he can find a corner to replace Bashaun Breeland. Could be a young guy in the draft. Could be a bargain free agent guy. Might be a guy that takes a bit of a cheaper deal to go to the Chiefs to try to win a ring. I mean, we saw some guys that have taken less money to go to certain teams so far. Chris Harris took less money to go to the Chargers instead of going to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
So there's examples of that, especially guys that have had multiple contracts. But I just came back to Chris Jones. I just don't think a long-term deal is the smartest thing for this franchise. If Clark was on the roster, I would probably think differently. But this is a guy that's been injury-prone. He's missed. Remember, he got hurt in the first half against the Titans, a game I don't want to go back and watch in the playoffs, and they're a completely different team in the second half. He was out of that game. Luckily, the Chiefs are good enough to win without him in the first playoff game this year, but he missed that first game, okay? And there's still rumors around that he was goofing off, and that's how he got hurt. Now, do you want to spend, you know, 5 years, $125 million, and guarantee him $50 million to a guy that goofs around like that? I'm not saying he's a cancer or a problem. I mean, but he's going to have to be more responsible.
Your investment no matter what happens.
You don't
there.
Let Patrick Mahomes play pickup basketball. You better not be letting Chris Jones play any basketball in the locker room, as Ryan Petro says they do. These big linemen play basketball in the locker room.
Yeah.
But yet Mahomes isn't allowed to play. Why? Because he's the most important player in that franchise. But Chris Jones is going to be right up there if you give him $25 million a year. Because his price tag is going to be $20 to $25 million a year. There's not going to be anything lower than 20.
No.
So it's going to be a one-year franchise tag. I think the number will be $20 million if he, you know, takes it and the Chiefs don't work out a deal and everything works out, or they're going to trade him. And they got July 15th to figure that out. But I just think long-term, as much as I like Chris Jones, he's not on the field. He's not great against the run. He's a terrific pass rusher and changes what you can do defensively. So don't get me wrong. He is a game changer. And he's in his prime, and you had a second-round draft pick, and this is your own guy you developed. So you hate to let those guys go. But in the NFL, with all this money tied up on all these other players, I just don't know how the Chiefs are going to have the flexibility to do other things to make – I think the depth is going to be hurt. I think they're going to be hurting different spots. If there's one key injury somewhere, all of a sudden they're in trouble next year because they gave too much money to Chris Jones in conjunction with all the money to Clark, money to Matthew, which I'm okay with Matthew's contract, by the way. And then, of course, eventually Mahomes' extension. So, to be continued. But do you buy, because, you know, I hear the reports and Brett Veach says we want to work out a long-term deal with Chris Jones. Do we truly believe he wants to? Do you think the general manager of the Chiefs wants to work out a long-term deal with Chris Jones? Or do you think that is just public for public consumption to make it where they really want him and you don't want to get anybody upset, and then here the last hour you trade him for a first or second round pick? Like D Ford last year, they got a second round pick for him. Do you think it's lip service, or do you think they really truly want to sign him long term and give him all that money? I think they want to sign him long term, but they don't want to give him the money, which means they don't want to sign him long term.
Yeah. Like, I have no doubt that they want Chris Jones on this team for what he can bring to the team, but they don't want to give him the money. I don't think they do. Listen, if you got rid of D Ford, of course they're bringing in a different scheme too, and I know that makes a difference. But they didn't have these talks about D Ford. You know, they weren't like, we're actively trying to sign him to a long-term deal. They weren't saying anything like that about him. So I don't know. I think that part of it, and Chris Jones comes out and says, I want to be with the Chiefs my whole career, you know, after the Super Bowl's
over. Lots of guys
say
that.
And again, you know, it's what he says. Can it work out both ways? You can't guarantee that. He probably does want to be in Kansas City. He probably likes it. But
not
at the same
at a
time,
discount.
He's not going to come and say, I'll take $14-15 million a year to stay here in Kansas City.
This is his first big contract. You cash that baby in.
Oh, yeah.
If it's your second or third contract, you can do what Chris Harris did and take less money or not as many years.
Yeah.
When it's your first big time, you're a free agent, have a chance to get the big money, you take all the money you can get.
Yes.
And you're in your prime.
Oh, without
lots
doubt,
of teams will give him that money, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Miami Dolphins would be a team with a ton of cap space that would do it.
Yeah.
I would think. So maybe that's – the Dolphins have all kinds of draft picks. Maybe that's what the Chiefs are going to do, trade Chris Jones to the Miami Dolphins. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
You get a first-round pick. I think I still think he's worth a first-round pick, though. That's the thing. I don't want him.
I mean, if DeForest Buckner was worth a first-round pick, I think that Chris Jones is.
I would hope so. Yeah. But, you know, Dee Ford is a second-round pick, and Chris Jones is a better player than Dee Ford, in my opinion, bigger impact on the game. So I think the Chiefs really. But here's the thing. What happens? You get up against it. You're either going to have maybe a disgruntled player on a franchise tag, or you trade him. But you try to trade him, but you can't get a first-round pick. And you're like, well, I ain't trading him. I don't get a first-round pick. And I think that might be what it comes down to, that you say, listen, we got to have a first-round pick for this guy. And if we're not going to get a first-round pick, we're not trading him. The problem is, and you're stuck with a franchise tag contract and a guy that could be upset, that could be a problem in the locker room, which I don't think he will be, but he could. And then you got to work around another $20 million on the books.
Yeah.
Against your cap, or however way they structure it.
And that's already in the number, I would think, right now, since he's already been franchised. That money is probably already
set aside, I think,
on that cap that we're talking about. That's $555,000. Okay. I'm pretty sure that should be already in there since he's tagged.
I would hope so. They're really in trouble.
If he's not, then they're in huge trouble.
Right. But still, $20 million right there. Imagine what you could do with $20 million and address other parts of your defense that you need help in.
Yeah.
But maybe they feel like, and I've said all along, they can handle the franchise tag. They can somehow make that work. The $20 million, they can make work. Because we just talked about it, $555,000, assuming that includes Jones's 20, which I think it does. Lose Watkins, $14 million. Now you're about $15 million in free cap money. Now you've got money to sign your draft picks and maybe go get a corner for on a one-year, $4 to $5 million deal. You might be able to do that. And you also got some other guys like Wiley's still not on the books. There's a guy that they've offered and that hasn't been actually official and signed or nothing. So there'll be more money that's added to the books. And there are some other free agents that maybe DeMarcus Robinson does come back to the Chiefs. I don't think he will, but maybe the Chiefs work something out there. Or maybe Breshawn Breeland. They end up bringing him back on a two-year deal for 20. I don't know, but 1 year you can maybe get by with it. The question is, how is he going to play as a franchise tag player? Is he going to bring it so he can get a big contract again? Or is he going to be, is he going to sulk about it and be a problem? I think he's going to be fine. I think it can work. I think if he's on a franchise tag for the 1 year, $20 million or whatever it is officially, that he will not be a problem on this team. But here's the problem. A year from now you got to give him a deal or you got to trade him. He ain't going to take a second. The Chiefs have the choice of the tag, but that's when he's going to say, that's it, I'm done. I'm done. You can't tag me again.
And he already held out from OTAs this last go-around.
There's no way he'd go another time with the tag. He would demand to be gone. He'd be demanding, like, dude, you're giving me no chance to get my big deal here. With every play I play, I have a chance of having injury. And that's why players don't like franchise tags.
Yeah.
Is that, okay, I get 20. A lot of people, they're like, why are guys upset and disrespected when people tag them with a franchise tag? Well, they're not necessarily disrespected per se. I mean, I think some players are, because really it's somewhat of a backhanded compliment. We like you so much, we're tagging you because you're the only guy we tagged on our whole roster. But it also means that you're really not sure if you want to give them the money long term, and they're in your long term plans, and thus you become what? You are in limbo. And so then they can tag you back to back years. So if you're tagged 1 year and you play through it and then you get tagged again, that's when all of a sudden player really gets upset.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. I'm out of here. You're not allowing me to get my big deal wherever I can. I'm in my prime. I want my money now. So when you tag a guy, people say, well, $20 million. God, what's he whining about? He's going to get $20 million. Yeah, for me and Dusty, we'd sign that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But he has a chance to. That what happens is if he plays under a franchise tag for $20 million, he is jeopardizing his long-term value of getting a big, big contract, like 5 years for 120, five for 125, five for 115, whatever it might be. And that's why players that get tagged don't like it, because it restricts them from just going out and being a free agent and getting whatever money they want and go to the highest bidder. Now, what Chris Jones and his agent can do is say, listen, we want a long-term deal with the Chiefs and we want it now, or trade us and we work out a long-term deal with somebody else and then you can trade him. And that's exactly what happened with Dee Ford. Except Dee Ford wasn't all upset. It was the Chiefs who wanted to move him, and Dee Ford signed a long-term deal with the Niners, got all the guaranteed money. Once that was agreed upon, the Chiefs could officially trade him to the Niners, get a draft pick, and it was all done. And there are teams that have cap space out there. The Dolphins are one. There's many other teams as well. They have plenty of money to give Chris Jones a huge contract. And he's one of the top free agents available if the Chiefs are willing to trade him or if they'd remove the tag, which they're not. They put the tag on him. But that's why players don't like the franchise tag. It limits you from getting your big, big, big contract. And then you have to decide, okay, do I end up being a disgruntled employee and demand to be traded and rock the boat on a Super Bowl champion team?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I go ahead and play for 1 year and take my $20 million and with the assurances that if I get through the year and play well, there will be no tag next year on me? And there are teams that make those deals with players. They'll say, listen, we're tagging you this year. We will assure you, or maybe if it's something in writing, that we will not tag you next year. There are those kind of handshake agreements, verbal agreements, sometimes even put it in writing, to where the player at least feels like, okay, I'll go one more year, I'll make the money, which is okay, and hopefully I won't get hurt, and I'm sure they got injury policy, insurance policy, most players do, then I'll get my big contract next year because I know they're not going to tag me. I'm either going to get a long-term deal with the Chiefs or I'm going to be allowed to go chase whatever contract I want. But there are times where players get tagged back to back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, that doesn't make them happy at all. And I get it. I do. And I think us fans don't quite understand that part of the equation. Because we're like, 20 yeah. million? Why are you whining about 20 million? He's not whining about 20 million. He's whining that I'm limited to getting 20 million when I can get 100 million. Well, what would you do in your real life? If you had a chance to get 100 million and you were told by the government, you can't get 100 million, even though you know you can, but we're tagging you to where you can only get 20 this year, then next year you can go try to get your 100. Well, guess what? Next year everything might dry up and the 100 million might not be out there.
Yeah.
Or I get hurt, or I don't play well, or I have an illness or a sickness or a horrible injury. Who knows? That's why players want that guaranteed money. That's why baseball players have the best union in the world, because all their money is guaranteed. As soon as they sign a dotted line, it's guaranteed. NFL is not fully guaranteed. The only thing guaranteed is the signing bonus. That's it. That's the guarantee. Now, there have been a couple of contracts that have been guaranteed fully, which is rare. And that was Kirk Cousins was the big one. 3 years, $84 million with the Vikings. That was all guaranteed. And that might start to set the precedent. And that's where we bring up Mahomes again. I am telling you, there is. I would be stunned and shocked if there isn't the highest guaranteed money in sports for Patrick Mahomes. I would be stunned if it isn't the highest amount of guaranteed money, or that half or all of the contract is fully guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm Lee Steinberg, the agent, I'm looking like, Kirk Cousins, seriously? That guy got guaranteed $84 million? Dollars? Patrick Mahomes wants a guaranteed $100 million minimum, or $150 million. So you sign Mahomes to a five-year, $250 million contract. How about that? $50 million a year. Let's just go easy numbers. Five for $250. Lee Steinberg says $125 million guaranteed, or we're not signing. I think I would be that way if I was an agent.
Yeah.
And I get my commission off of it, too. That's guaranteed in my pocket, too. That's why they should take a discount. Hey, do you think the agent wants a discount? No, agents are greedy, baby. That's why they go after these players. By the way, look out, Patrick Mahomes, because if you don't get your extension signed, there's a guy that's going to take your job. He's from the XFL. My son goes, hey, did you see the Chiefs sign a quarterback? I go, yeah, he won't be on the team come September, I can assure you. Well, at least I think I can. Maybe he'll beat out Kyle Shermer or Chad Henne. I doubt that. At best, he'll be the third-string quarterback on the practice squad.
He's not going to be Henne out.
No. Jordan Tamu, I don't know how you pronounce it.
Tamu,
okay, good. That's cool.
I watched some of the XFL games, so he's actually,
okay.
He's based a good on your player, competition. But he's an XFL player. But.
Right. Anyway, he was signed by the Chiefs. So he'll compete for the third string job.
Yeah, he's not beating Chad Henne out.
Ah, they just gave Henne a 2-year deal, I highly doubt it. Although once again, that's not all full guarantee. The Chiefs could cut him or whatever.
And he could get hurt again, like he did last year.
That's
maybe
true.
Tiamu steps into Matt Moore's job.
I'd rather have Matt Moore, but